Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Today's coup attempt against the Capitol in Washington, D.C. brings into stark focus how fascism has crept through the far right over the last 4 years. KBOO's Nat Moon spoke with Coco Das, a member of the National Editorial Board of Refuse Fascism, about how the right has telegraphed their intentions, been constantly stoked by the president, and the danger of letting fascists go unopposed.
So Refuse Fascism has been organizing since actually the end of 2016, since after the 2016 election, stating, you know, analyzing that the Trump-Pence regime was a fascist regime, that that this election was a leap in a particular fascist movement, and that it was our responsibility as people living in this country, you know, for the sake of humanity, to stay in the streets, to protest nonviolently, you know, in a sustained way, not just, you know, a one-time protest, but to stay in the streets day after day or month after month, however it could have been sustained, to actually demand that the Trump-Pence regime be removed from power because they posed a great danger to the whole world. We're a movement of people from people of many different political perspectives united under this recognition that the Trump-Pence regime was a danger and needed to go. Obviously, we did not succeed in launching that kind of sustained protest, but I think you're seeing in what happened today that what we've been saying about the fascism of this regime and of Trump in particular is really has been borne out. We've been organizing people into protest for 4 years, and we've been out in the streets pretty much nonstop.
You brought up today, so despite the far right telegraphing their plans for today, the country seems completely overwhelmed by what's happening and surprised. What are your thoughts about what's going on at the Capitol right now?
Mm-hmm. You know, this is unprecedented. It's an unprecedented attempted fascist coup of fascist stormtroopers actually descending on the Capitol and police retreating and letting them actually bring this, what should be a routine formality, bring it to a halt. But, you know, in some ways, Trump has been, you're absolutely right, the far right has been telegraphing this, but Trump has also been promising this for months, since before the election, and constantly talking about his tough people. He called these people into D.C. today for this specific reason, to disrupt this process. And it's an extreme danger. It can be called nothing less than an attempted fascist coup. And, you know, whether or not it succeeds, the damage it has done is unprecedented and extremely alarming. And, you know, part of why people are surprised is because they have not been paying attention. We have been calling out this fascist coup since before the election, and, you know, we really do call on people now to take a stand, to stop saying that this can't happen, that it's not likely to succeed, therefore we don't need to do anything about it. We actually need to stand up and stop it. The first few days after an attempted fascist coup or an attempted coup of any kind, what the people do matters greatly.
What do you think this act of sedition, this fascist coup, could change? What are the possibilities for the days to come?
Well, one, they've already succeeded in delaying the vote. They've already, in the vote, the ratification, they've already succeeded in delaying that. I don't know if these debates are going to continue or if these challenges in the face of what happened today, if these representatives and senators still continue their challenges, it really tells you where they stand on democracy and where they stand on, you know, elections. But, you know, what it sets up for what is possible anytime they lose an election or any time. I mean, this is actually a continuation of things that have been happening at the state level of armed stormtroopers, thugs, actually, you know, storming these state capitals and putting people under lockdown, threatening them, you know, so that they have to wear bulletproof vests. And, you know, even, you know, there was even a kidnapping plot against the governor of Michigan. It just escalates everything. It escalates what can be done through terror and violence, which is exactly the message that Trump has been sending since the campaign trail. You know, he said he longed for the days when protesters were taken out on stretchers. This is what fascism is. It's a blatant form of dictatorship through the rule of terror and violence, which is enforced not only by fascists in government, but also these, you know, fascists in the streets. And anybody who does not want to live under that kind of white supremacist mob rule, you know, we can't just say if we ignore it, it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's actually going to keep escalating. It was allowed, it was given air to breathe. It was given air to spread and get this far because people ignored it. I mean, people actively said, just, you know, let them have their day and it'll go away. Well, it's not going to go away. And if we don't actually take a stand society-wide throughout the country and say no more, it will continue. And it can continue to a point where at one day it could succeed, you know, for whatever goal they have under Trump or not, where a fascist takeover of society and government can succeed if we don't put a stop to it now.
Absolutely. And it's been fascinating to see the police response today. We saw police taking selfies with insurrectionists. We saw the reticent National Guard unwilling to come in. Can you talk a little about the police response today or with, you know, the Klan, with fascists in general, compared to BLM protests, for example, this summer?
Yeah, people are rightly pointing out the difference in how BLM protesters are treated just for, you know, even for just gathering peacefully. It takes very little for the tear gas to start and the brutality to start, as opposed to hours and hours of these fascists gathering, actually days of these fascists gathering, and, you know, even starting skirmishes with the police. And then they get to the Capitol and the police stand aside. This has happened over and over again, and I think we cannot overlook how much this ideology, this fascist white supremacist ideology, has actually has infiltrated into the police, has become a part of police unions and police ethos. A majority, you know, many police unions endorse Trump, and Trump, you know, has made his support of the police one of his rallying cries. And the Blue Lives Matter is often seen with the Confederate flag and the U.S. flag as part of these fascist rallies. You know, they've become very interconnected. I don't know, I can't say how much of that has gone into the police response today. I mean, there's also, like, you know, white supremacy and racism that's entrenched in so many of the institutions of this country. And that has to do with it too. You know, for decades and centuries, actually, the treatment of Black people and white people have been different at the hands of police. But the police as an institution, and in fact, actually, all of the institutions of government have been, the fascists have advanced through all of these institutions, including, you know, different parts of the government, including, you know, of course, ICE and Border Patrol and the police. And we should not forget, too, that, you know, Trump has openly encouraged more brutality from the police against these protesters and against Black Lives Matter, and against Black people and brown people in general, calling Black Lives Matter protests, riots, anarchist criminal activity, and yet these protests that actually are violent, that actually are inciting, insurrection, is what he thinks is legitimate. They don't actually think any protest against them is legitimate, but they think anything that they do as a mob, as a group, is legitimate. And, that's a very dangerous situation.
How do you think the landscape is going to change politically now that Biden, a corporate Democrat, has been elected to the presidency? Do you see the landscape of fascism in America shifting, if you see it shifting at all?
The biggest change will be that Trump's hands will be off the levers of power, and that is not a small thing. We in Refuse Fascism have always said that voting alone is not enough to stop this fascist movement. And these fascists are in the courts, they're in all the levels of government, and Biden, his main line up to this point, we'll see if it changes, tomorrow, has been to reconcile with these people, to, reach across the aisle and find unity. But there can be no unity with these people who are standing for they're fighting for a future of unchallenged white supremacy, misogyny, America first chauvinism, backed up by a lot of violence. So it has always been up to the people, the decent people in this country who, really do want a world where diversity is valued, where Black lives do matter. It's up to us to actually bring this fascist movement and program to a halt with our actions of nonviolent, creative actions, creating a culture of awakened protest, just like we saw over the summer, but where we finally really unite and say, no, we're not going to accept a fascist America in any form. Biden is not a fascist. He's part of the ruling class. He's not a fascist, but he is not the answer to this fascist program and this fascist movement. And for any of us to stand back and rely on that and just say, look, our work is done, he's going to take care of it, that's a deadly delusion, and not one that we support at all. Some things will be immediately different. We won't have a lunatic with his finger on the nuclear trigger. Yet many aspects of this fascist movement and program are going to remain intact if the people don't stand up.
The call for unity always makes me think of that James Baldwin quote that goes, we can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist.
Right. Yeah, that's a really important quote. And there's been way too much normalizing and making excuses for even the regular Trump voter, okay, maybe they are not all racist, but they all stood behind a racist president and they all stood behind a racist program and they all condoned it. We can't make peace with that. Making peace with that is a nightmare for humanity.
You mentioned a little bit ago that way before this MAGA rally, before fascist events, people on Twitter, folks in the news, in politics say, just stay out of the fascist way. They'll go home on their own, let it play out. Can you talk a little bit about why letting fascists run loose doesn't work?
There's actually precedence in this, and we can learn actually from the history of how fascists came to power in Italy and Germany. And one of those ways was to dominate the streets. And through their marches and street fights or whatever, everything that they did in the streets actually helped them to rise to power. And what happened was eventually all the other forces in society that could have stopped it receded, and they said exactly the same things that people were saying to us when we were saying we need to, you know, have a presence and have some kind of counter protest against these million MAGA marches that took place in November and December. They said, you know, I'm just going to stay at home. I'm not going to engage with these people. I'm going to just hide in my home and eventually they'll go away. And that's not what happens at all. The more that you concede and seed the streets, it's the seeding the public square and the public discourse to these people, the more air and space they get to spread their poison all over society. It gives them energy. It gives them power. And it emboldens them to give them the streets without any opposition. And, you know, unfortunately, for 4 years, there's been very little, you know, except for a few protests here and there, there has not been enough opposition directed at the regime and this movement itself. And I think we can see right now what has been the consequence of not having any opposition, no visible presence of the decent people standing up to these thugs, not to mention what it does to the black and brown, you know, the black people in D.C. and the people who are targeted and under the gun of these, you know, in some cases, literally under the gun of these fascists. You're going to stay in your house and abandon these vulnerable people to these white supremacist thugs. I think it's unconscionable. And it's also strategically a huge mistake. And I think we're seeing the consequences of that today.
Coco Das of Refuse Fascism, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.